Oh, guilty movie pleasure fans. Are any of you feeling down about the state of politics or our country or the world? Well, hey, it could always be worse or the same. Because today we're covering Idiocracy.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's guilty movie pleasure.
Oh, man, I realized how wildly offensive that opening could be taken. In my defense, I, on the fly, decided to try and do a Dax Shepard impression, and just instead sounded very offensive. But what I meant to do was, today we're covering Idiocracy.
Offensive only to Dax Shepard, I think.
But
everyone else, I think, was okay with it.
But
Dax,
yeah,
since we know you're a long-time listener and watcher.
First-time caller.
Guilty Movie Pleasures
so
Podcast.
So, it was a failed attempt at a Dax Shepard impression from Idiocracy.
We're talking Idiocracy. Okay. So anyways, what if I do the whole thing like go away, Baton?
But I mean, let's find out. Everyone buckle
anyways,
up.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am your host, Ben Begley, at the Ben Begley on the Twitter and all that other stuff. And hey, I got 2010 followers now.
Look at that.
In case you've been tracking, I went from 1998 for about since 1998, and I've
you
gained
had Twitter. In 1998?
I did. I went back
what?
In time and I gave it to myself.
Of all the things to give to yourself, if you go back in time, Twitter is low on the list.
And my co-host, as always, the ever faithful Jesse McIntosh.
Here I am,
ever faithful, whatever that means.
Well, since 1998, since I went back in time and gave you to myself.
Yes. it all went off the rails.
Yeah, find me on Twitter and Instagram at Too Much Jesse. I will say I too have been hovering somewhere between 2,000 and 150 followers. So if you could somehow get your friends and family to go ahead and follow me,
you
as
know,
well,
and,
get me up to 2,000.
And at Guilty Movie Guys is where you can follow us and talk all things nerd and movie and guilty movies. You know, we got those 230 bots that are really active.
Yeah, they sure are.
Man, we paid a lot for those 230 bots.
A little too much.
A little too much. Anyways, today we were talking for a while. Jesse and I have been talking about how, and so have some fans of the show have been mentioning Idiocracy, just because of how ridiculous. Whatever side of politics you fall on, you have to admit that shit's gotten crazy. Shit's gotten weird. It's a fucking circus, and there's even the Showtime docuseries called The Circus, which is fantastic if you haven't checked it out. By the way, it's so good. It's been following since the primaries, and it's incredible. But the country, the whole world is, with Brexit, with the almost election of the worst human being ever in France, like, everything is just crazy, and Trump, obviously. So we wanted to kind of lighten it up and play and watch Idiocracy. I hadn't seen this. I remember it came out, when did this come out? In 2006. It got like a one-weekend run in theaters because the studio didn't really give a shit about it. And I remember my buddies and I were like, oh, fuck, Mike Judge, Beavis and Butthead, Office Space. We got to go to his movie. Yep. And we went opening night to it, laughed our asses off. I bought it. I haven't really watched it since then. So it's been about 11, probably like 8 or 9 years since I've seen it. And I, rewatching this movie, I was cracking up. And I don't know if it's just because it's that much more of a possibility now than ever that this could be our reality.
Yeah.
But man, it has the. We talked about how it had the perfect balance for me of Office Space meets Beavis and Butthead. It's like the pinnacle of Mike Judge, where it's the highbrow with the extremely lowbrow, but justifying within the context of the story why there's so many dick and fart jokes.
Right.
Where it's not just thrown in there just because they're being juvenile, it's because our world has become juvenile.
It's, yeah, I mean. Yes, they were able to justify it very well, but I also feel like they were sort of like swinging for the like they saw slow pitch softballs coming in and they were like, all right, let's make some dick and fart jokes.
Even the giant like dildo monster trucks at the end,
or just like the floppy dildo on his.
Yeah, okay,
just like
of it went a little like, okay, you didn't need to go that far.
There was a lot of crude humor. But
so when did you first see this?
I saw it pretty close to when it came out. I didn't see it in theaters. I saw it on video, but I loved it when I saw it, and I actually remember
Dax Shepard
thinking,
steals this fucking
I remember movie. Thinking Dax Shepard, I might have thought he should have been up for an Oscar. I thought he was so funny, and I also like
so
I think it might have been the first I'd seen of him. He was on Punk'd, right?
Yeah.
Didn't he also do that?
He's fantastic. If you haven't watched Parenthood,
God, he's so good.
Parenthood, he makes that whole show makes you cry like every episode. It's such a good show. If you didn't see Parenthood, I know it's not a guilty movie pleasure fan normal thing to go see, but it's so good. And Dax Shepard's fantastic.
And
in
it's a short, probably five seasons.
Yeah, you know, you could just really
just binge it, just knock
just
it out.
Binge those 22 network episodes.
Yeah, about 100 episodes, hour long episodes. Yeah. Just knock it out.
You got it. You got it.
Quick, fun Dax Shepard story. Yep. This actually has nothing to do with Dax Shepard the person, but I was driving through Utah a few years
Shepard,
ago.
Dax Shepard the state.
Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. I was driving through Utah a few years ago, and we stopped in at a restaurant, and they were one of those places that had like pictures of everyone who'd come in on the wall, and like the centerpiece was a framed photo of Dax Shepard with like two of the waitresses, and it said Hollywood famous actor Dax Shepard. And it was like such a strange
Hollywood famous actor. I love it when they say they have like a weird title for them, like that's what you chose.
That's what you chose. It, and that's what you
Hollywood
ended up with.
Famous actor. I'm glad that they at least knew his name instead of saying Hollywood famous actor.
Right. But then, like, if it had said that, then I would have wondered if they just, like, switched it out and just had, like, headshots.
Well, it's like that time that I told you about people thinking the Dalai Lama was on the Southwest flight. And I'm certain it was not him.
Sure.
But everybody was like, it's the Dalai Lama. Because enough people are taking photos with him. And he's in that religious garb that I don't understand.
Yeah. That only the Dalai Lama
beads,
wears.
Those things. It's like, all right, okay. Anyways.
Speaking of parents.
So let's get into this, because I love this movie and I want to talk about it. A lot today. Let's do the plot in under 3 minutes. Are
you ready? Go away, Peyton.
Forget to that sound clip. It's my favorite thing ever.
Ready to go.
All right.
We got a full screen timer today.
Look at
I know
that.
No one else can see it but us, but it's full screen right now.
It means something more to me. I don't have my glasses on right now. So, all right, here we go. In 3, 2, 1. So we start off, and there's a voiceover about how the world is getting... We always thought that the world was going to get better and more advanced, but it's getting dumber because the people who are educated and who have career-minded... They are too career-minded. They're not having kids. They're waiting too long. And everybody else who may not be as educated are just having sex and getting knocked up and sleeping with other people. It's basically like the Jerry Springer Show just multiplies like gremlins, and all the corporate people just don't have kids.
Right.
And we cut to Luke Wilson is the most average person in the army, and they cryogenically freeze him and a prostitute played by Maya Rudolph, who's an adorable prostitute, by the way. They get cryogenically frozen for a year to test out cryogenic freezing, and they end up getting frozen for 505 years.
Right, and so Luke Wilson ends up on the top of a
good
trash
job.
Pile.
1 minute for the first 3 minutes.
He ends up on the top of a trash pile, and when there's a trash avalanche, his pod crashes into Dax Shepard's house, and he...
Oh, he's watching Ow My Balls.
Yeah, he emerges from the pod and is like, no ill effects, just shows up, and then he gets arrested.
Yeah, he gets arrested because he doesn't have a scanner on him.
Yep.
Everybody has a UPC barcode now. He goes to jail. He tells them, oh, I'm supposed to be out of jail, and they believe him and let him out. He then goes to Dax Shepard, who says there's a time machine. He finds Rita. They go to Costco to try and find the time machine, and they're going, welcome to Costco, I love you. They're looking around. He gets scanned again, gets arrested, and this time he's taken to the President Camacho,
because he was given an IQ test in jail, which is standard. They always
standard,
do that.
Yeah.
And he was determined to be the smartest person in the world. So he was taken to meet President Terry Crews, President Camacho, who has appointed him Secretary of the Interior, and he has to fix all
everything.
Of their problems.
All of things. The Dust Bowl, the fact that they find out that the plants have been watered by Gatorade, Brondo, with electrolytes, and he starts telling everybody, guys, if we just use water, and so they use water.
Water at the toilet.
Dude, this is not a toilet. We don't do that.
Toilet water.
And so they use water. It doesn't grow right away. So everybody's furious. Brondo's stock drops to zero. Everybody starts rioting. They want his head. They take him to be in rehabilitation.
Which is a monster jam.
Yeah, is a monster jam with giant dildo trucks.
Giant dildo trucks trying to kill you.
Yeah.
That's how you become rehabilitated.
Yeah.
So in the middle of this rehabilitation, Maya Rudolph hatches a plan where she's going to prove that there are crops growing.
Because they found out there's a plant outside the window.
Yep.
So she sends Dax Shepard and a camera guy to go find the plants.
And they end up at Starbucks getting hand jobs, which they call lattes. And then they fight, and the camera flies onto the crops, and the camera shows the crops.
Uh-huh.
And then they feed that
then they
that
feed that to the crowd.
The crowd.
And everybody's like, whoa, plants are real. And then, oh shit! Okay. Where are we?
Oh shit! They decide they want to go into the time machine, and they end up at the time machine. And it turns out it's just a ride.
Yeah.
So they have to stay there. Luke Wilson becomes president, and Dax Shepard becomes vice president. Maya Rudolph becomes first lady.
Yeah.
And
they have three kids together. Dax Shepard has like eight kids, and he's
34 kids.
He sort of fixes the world, but just good enough. All right. Yeah. Oh man, we had so much time, and then we. Like, just totally freaked at the end.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was like, oh, we're so easy. We just got to talk about the denouement of the film.
Your overconfidence was really our downfall.
Yeah, that's what it was. And then as soon as the clock went away, I didn't know what was going on.
I blame you.
I blame technical difficulties on that one. So let's get into this. We're going to play the first sound clip. This gives you the setup for the movie. It's the opening voiceover.
Yes, please. Before we get into this first sound clip, I do want to point out, right before we came on air, Ben said, I'm really excited to hear what you think about this one, indicating that he doesn't always care what I think. So we're going to play this sound clip, and then we're going to hear what both of us think.
Perfect. It's clip number one, please.
Predicted a future that was more civilized and more intelligent. But as time went on, things seemed to be heading in the opposite direction, a dumbing down.
How did
this happen?
I don't know.
Evolution does not necessarily reward intelligence. With no natural predators to thin the herd, it began to simply reward those who reproduced the most and left the intelligent to become an endangered species.
Such a good setup.
It is.
And tell me, you know, it's like, no judgment, because we're obviously guilty movie pleasures, but like the reality TV boom, I feel like is really adding to the dumbing down. President Trump wouldn't exist without reality TV.
Yep.
He's made it a reality TV show.
Yeah.
You know, it all started with like Cops and Jerry Springer and things like that. And it's just like, and even franchises, I love Real franchises, world. Clearly. Yeah. I love the shit out of action movies, but some of them are so fucking dumb that like, it's just like, we're just sitting there like, it's just like, we're becoming closer to WALL-E where they're all in recliners that float and they just get food shoveled to them and they have iPads in front of their face. And everybody now, when you go to anywhere, they're just all on their phone. Like, you know, you don't see, when you and I used to go to auditions in the beginning, we met at a casting workshop.
Mm-hmm.
We would never meet now. Because before a casting workshop starts or an acting audition or whatever,
people talk to anyone. Yeah.
Because it's more interesting to be on your Instagram than meet a person.
Well, it's just...
Bullshit!
It's not necessarily more interesting.
It's not. That's what I'm being... I'm sorry, I was being sarcastic.
No, I didn't tune it that way.
For those of you listening at home, my face was sarcastic. My voice sounded real.
I understood what you mean, but it's also like, it's harder. It's harder to interact socially than it is to not. And so I like that's the default. And when you're given entertainment or anything to distract you, it's easier just to take it.
Yeah.
And we are seeing a lot of the like mind-numbing entertainment where people just sit and park themselves and they engage in that.
Trolling just Facebook, like,
yeah.
I don't know how much before and after the election I was just like, well, my daughter was up and my wife was breastfeeding and I was up just being supportive, just looking at Facebook going, he did what? Motherfuck! And then just being like, what else happened? And just like all hours of the night just trolling Facebook articles and then reading movie reviews and stuff. It's like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
There's more important things to be doing.
Yeah. And it's also like, I will scroll through Twitter for probably like 30 minutes at a time, just like reading everyone's one-liners about it.
Yeah.
It's like, what possible good is this doing me or the world?
Last night when I couldn't go to the Logan Noir screening, I typed in hashtag Logan Noir and just lived vicariously through everybody else and was like, and then it just made me more angry.
Right.
And I'm like, what am I doing?
Right.
What are we doing, guys?
What
are we doing? Tweet at us. What are we doing, guys?
What are we doing?
Hashtag what are we doing?
Right. Anyways, now, like a podcast. What are we doing?
What if this entire show just makes us get really introspective and like and just everything just like what does it mean, man?
Like, let's just hash it out right
now. Just hash it out on this. Anyway, so I mean this is not that this When my wife and I first told everybody we were pregnant, we have some friends who were thinking about having kids, and they're like, I don't know, man, the world's so fucked up. Like, isn't that kind of irresponsible? And I was like, no, it's irresponsible to not have kids, because your kids are going to be the ones who will follow in your footsteps and change the world.
Right.
And so the fact that, like, a bunch of my super well-educated, normal thinking friends are like, nah, probably not going to do that. It's like, fuck, what are we going to do? The only people that are like,
where
idiocracy.
Are the good ones going to come
from?
Yeah.
It's just, this movie handles it really well, where it's not, to me, I don't think it's really... it's not making fun of any one section of society. It's just saying, like, this is what's going to happen if, you know, I don't know. Did you find it offensive to any?
I don't think it intended to. Like, I don't think that, I mean, again, coming from two guys who, like, can't be offended by stuff. Do you know what I mean? We're not
two affluent white guys.
That demographic of offended.
I don't know why. I was not offended by this.
But no, they didn't really take swings at at anyone in particular.
It's just a general thing about, like, stupidity and not safe sex and you know,
yeah,
like.
the only thing that I feel like you could have been offended by, and again, it this was sort of saved for, like, the idiots were saying this, the derogatory term for gay was slung around
a lot.
Like, it was regular vernacular.
But that was making fun of
right,
you know. In fact,
they gave the idiots those lines, and that's also, like, we talk about this a little bit, as far as, like, movies as time capsules, but this it was so much more, I don't want to say acceptable, but, like, it was so much more our language back in 2006 when movie was made. I'm sure they just were like, this is something that we use that maybe we shouldn't use, but, like, idiots use.
I mean, they also use retarded or retard or tarred, all different variations of that, which now is
Justin,
like,
Long, which hits every iteration.
Which
of it.
Now is like, you listen to the Black Eyed Peas song and they got so much shit for it, they had to change it to "Let's Get It Started" instead of "Let's Get Retarded," which, to be fair, "Let's Get Retarded" is kind of a weird thing to say about getting excited at a party.
And but also, like,
and bob your head like epilepsy. It's like, okay.
You know, I was going to say but I'm going to censor myself. No, let's move on from that.
Okay. All right, let's move on from that. So I didn't pull the sound clip, but I love the beginning when they set up Luke Wilson, and they're saying, "You just sit on your ass all day." And he's like, "Come on, we're switching you." He's like, "Shouldn't I train this guy?" He's like, "I think he can sit on his ass learn how to sit on his ass on his own." It's just, like, so funny how they set it up. And then the really nerdy guy who's setting up that he knows Rita and the pimp.
This was so good. And I wish that he also made it to the future, because that, like, very short runner of him wanting to be a pimp was so funny.
When he says a pimp's love is different than a square's.
Yeah.
What does that mean? I want to know.
I don't know. I wish we would have had more of him.
And he goes through, like, because if you haven't seen the movie in a while, the general who's setting up that he's recruited Rita and Luke Wilson, who's the most average guy in the army, and Rita, who's a prostitute, because
they wanted people who didn't have any family or friends, and they couldn't find any average females with no family or friends in the army, so they went outside of the army, and they
find was a prostitute. Which, by the way, Maya Rudolph is super funny in this movie.
Yeah.
I don't buy that she's a prostitute. Too adorable. Don't get me wrong, she's hilarious, but I don't think she needed to be a prostitute in this movie.
Like, there's never any evident, like, she's just worried about her pimp for the whole time she's in the future, but, like, that's the only thing.
They do the really funny running gag with the guy who's like, "Oh, I'll wait all day for you, baby."
Yeah.
And she's like, "All right, well, I charge by the hour." He's like, "All right." He keeps coming by and giving her more money.
Every day.
It's so funny. He's like, "Ooh, when we gonna do it?"
Yeah.
It's so funny.
She's like, "You're still on the clock." And he's like, "I know." and just walks away. It's really funny.
So Upgrade is her pimp, and his name is spelled UPGRAYEDD.
Yep.
Upgrade. And this is an exchange between Luke Wilson and Maya Rudolph when I almost said Maya Angelou, which is not even remotely.
That's where they got this dialogue, you know, from. Like, Luke Wilson was improvising with Maya Angelou.
And you know, Frederick Douglass as well, you know. It's a Trump joke. Anyways, can we play clip number two, please?
Upgrade. That's an interesting name. See, Dutch? See, because I knew this Dutch exchange student. His name's Untgrad.
It's so good. That's one of those
Untgrad.
That's one of those, like, highbrow moments that just, it's so funny. And Untgrad. And I feel like, this is why this movie surprised me how much I still laughed. And I cracked up. And Renee ended up, my wife had to go to bed because she had to go feed Daisy and everything. So she was stoked to watch it, and then I ended up watching the rest without her. I'm a jerk.
Well,
does Hannah ever watch the movies with you?
Yeah, from time to time.
Did she watch this one?
She did not. No, we have sort of conflicting schedules,
so it's
tough.
Yeah,
but what I was going to say, that it's funny you bring her up, because we had just seen Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, and she commented on how well they dispersed the, like, kinds of stupid. Like, because it's easy to create stupid characters and then just have it one note.
Yep.
And Guardians of the Galaxy, a couple of the Guardians are like different sorts of stupid.
Yeah.
And they did a really good job making that funny. And this was something where like it's really easy to laugh at dumb people.
Yeah.
And it's really easy to like just mine your movie with that. But they paid attention and they made it like
it's very specific,
a very specific stupid.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So like that's what made the movie for me. And even Luke Wilson, who it turns out becomes the smartest person in the world, he even has several stupid moments because he's not the brightest bulb.
When he goes on the whole time travel rant, when he's like, wait, I didn't pull that sound clip because it's too long. But when he's in Costco later on, he's like, wait, OK, I'll go back in time and I'll tell Rita not to come. And then wait, but she's still here. So did I not go back in time? And why am I still here? Fuck, time travel. So confusing.
And Dax Shepard is just responding to him with, yeah.
And it reminded me of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, which I'll never forget, where they're like, oh man, we don't have keys to get in the jail cell. And it's like, well, what if we just go back in time and remind ourselves to bring keys? Hey, they're here! It's just like, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure has the best flawed time travel logic ever. Yeah. It's so good. So they go to the future. They get cryogenically frozen for 500 years. And you see that Fuddruckers slowly becomes Buttfuckers.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they have kids having a birthday in a restaurant called Buttfuckers.
And they look so bummed out. The birthday kid is just, like, despondent.
And then the Great Garbage Act's in it, because now garbage, they don't know what to do with it anymore. Nobody knows what to do with anything. They're feeding plants with Gatorade. They just throw their trash everywhere. They're watching movies that are just an ass farting on a screen for 90 minutes, winning Best Screenplay.
It won eight Academy Awards.
And then it's like they have a channel or a show called Ow My Balls, which brings us to Dax Shepard. Frito is his name.
Yep.
And they all have shirts that have corporations on them.
Yeah.
And I even love that the cabinet guy who keeps going, sponsored by Carl's Jr. And they're like, why are you saying that? Oh, because I get paid every time. Sponsored by Carl Jr. And then he's freaking out. He's like, sponsored by Carl Jr. Sponsored by Carl's Jr. It's so funny. Like, oh, God, it's so good. So the when we get introduced to Dax Shepard, he's watching Ow My Balls. And it's just a guy getting kicked in the nuts, which isn't that far away from Funniest Home Videos.
Or Jackass. I think it's probably,
it's Funniest Home Videos led to Jackass, which then...
led to Tosh.0.
It's led to Tosh.0, led to Ow My Balls.
Ouch My Balls.
Yeah. So can we play clip number, I don't know, 3, I guess it is? No, I don't have my numbers on here. It's I'll Base Your Ass.
Are we on base?
I'll base your ass on my face.
Face ass.
That's
shut
all I got. That's all I got for you. He's watching the TV show and the pod just comes into the wall of his apartment and he just like doesn't react to it at all.
He's just like shut up. I'm watching TV.
And he's just sitting there eating a tub of butter.
And then he stands up and you reveal that he's been on a toilet.
Yeah.
In his recliner.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I just want to hear that clip again. I don't have any improv for it because it's so specific, but I love it so much.
Are we on base?
I'll base your ass on my face. Shut up.
I'll base your ass on my fist. Face, ass. I love that he just starts repeating words again.
He starts saying stuff.
Isn't far off from our president's speeches sometimes. You know, tremendous, huge.
Huge.
I'm the best. I got the best words. My words are the best. Oh,
that
God.
I actually think
Dax Shepard has a little bit more eloquency, too.
I would say so. I would say. If you guys didn't catch that was my impression of President Trump as a pizza owner doing a commercial. That's what it was.
Yeah.
What? The best.
The best. It's the best.
Hey, it's the
it's
best.
The best of matzo balls.
It's the best.
So this sums up what we were talking about earlier, where I feel like they handle it well, describing the new language so that it's not making fun of hillbillies or any kind of one section of society that you could normally. They basically Archie Bunker it and hit them all.
Yeah.
Can we play the new language clip? I believe it's number 4.
Unaware of what year it was, Joe wandered the streets desperate for help. But the English language had deteriorated into a hybrid of hillbilly, valley girl, inner city slang, and various grunts. Joe was able to understand them, but when he spoke in an ordinary voice, he sounded pompous and faggy to them.
See, that's one of the times.
So there you go.
They use that word. But to me, it's they're using it in the context of that sort of
They're saying, like, they're basically quoting the thoughts of the idiot population at this point.
And that's such a funny combination. Hillbilly, Valley Girl, inner city slang, and a series of grunts.
Yeah, slight objection that we never hear the Valley Girl part of the language. They never once introduce that.
It's just
that.
Mainly Hillbilly.
Yeah.
But they kind of...
Yeah.
It's
mostly, like... It's mostly grunts, but I also, what I love about what they do is, like, people who are in positions of authority, they're, like, trying to speak intelligently, and they're using big words, but incorrectly, and they're just using them over and over and over again.
Does that sound like anything similar?
I'm just saying.
Sound like anything similar. Huh, that's weird. So then he goes to the hospital, he escapes, goes to the hospital, and he's trying to, he thinks he's on drugs or something. Something's wrong. And I love that he goes to the woman at the counter, and she has various emojis existed back then. And she just presses one. He gets scanned. They take an intelligence test then, or when he's in jail?
He gets diagnosed. He gets diagnosed. They give him the three, like, thermometer,
and
like, probes.
Puts in his butt.
One in your ear, one in your mouth, one in your butt. And
his
then
reaction's so funny when they're like, wait, one of the...
Oh, one of the...
And you just see him watching, like, which one was the butt one?
Yeah, because he does it. He gives it to him, and he does it. And then he's like, oh, wait, no, the wrong... I gave you the wrong... And then he mixes them up, and he's like, actually, this one.
Then he goes to the water fountain and drinks the Gatorade and switches and spits with it. So can we play... This is the diagnosis from Justin Long, his doctor. Let's play that clip, number five.
The end of this clip is so great. Yeah. So just hang on to the end.
Kick ass. Don't want to sound like a dick or nothing, but it says on your chart that you're fucked up. You talk like a fag, and your shit's all retarded. What I do is just like... You know what I mean? Like...
No, I'm serious here.
Don't worry, Scrub. Now there are plenty of tards out there living really kick-ass lives. My first wife was tarded. She's a pilot now.
That's so good.
My favorite is like, yeah, my recommendation is, you know, yeah.
Like, what I do is...
Justin Long is so funny in this scene. He has one scene, and it might be the funniest scene in the whole movie.
It's really good. I just
you're all fucked up.
I love the end of that where he's like,
"Don't worry, bro. Don't worry, Scro." Yeah, I like that he calls him Scro.
My wife was started, and she's a pilot now. It's just...
Everything about that clip is so funny. Oh, fuck me. That's too long to improv off of, but it's fun. Or to tell true stories.
Tell true stories.
Then he leaves there because Justin Long freaks out because he's unscannable. He doesn't have a barcode. Right. And so he runs out. He's being chased down by the law. And he goes, there's a Carl's Jr. and they're ordering from touchscreens. And can we play the next clip, the big ass fries?
Enjoy your extra big ass fries.
That's not far off from the actual Carl's Jr. ads where... It was like, I love the new branding they're doing where Carl Sr. came back and he's like, you've been doing basically porn ads.
Yeah.
You're an idiot, son.
Boy,
it's like,
was this a long con by Carl's Jr.?
Yeah, exactly.
Carl's Jr. has had this plan for like 20 years.
Oh, yeah. 20 years. We've just been showing scantily clad women. What's that? What was number four? I don't think so.
Can we hear it?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Unaware of what year it
was. No, we did that one.
Joe wanted
We did that one. Oh, we got a secret message from the booth that was wrong. So Carl's Jr., can we play that sound clip again?
I forgive you.
Carl's Jr.?
Enjoy your extra big ass fries!
I hadn't been to a McDonald's in a while, and I went through the drive-thru and I was like, I just want a small french fry. And they're like, we don't sell small french fries anymore. And I was like, well, there's a lot of sodium, you know, it affects me differently now that I'm getting older. And they're like, we don't need a whole description of your health status, just what fries you want. I was like, just a small french fry. And they're like, the only thing we have is this, so you're gonna enjoy
your extra big ass fries.
And it was fucking huge. It's like a big gulp filled with fries.
That's too many
instead
fries.
Of soda.
How can you enjoy that many
you
fries?
You can't enjoy an extra big ass fry because
no.
You
just by its very nature
it's super expensive,
right?
So there's that debate in my mind where it's like, well, I paid for this, so I gotta eat the whole thing. Like when you get an extra large tub of popcorn at the movie theater.
Yeah.
And you're like, fuck, this is expensive. I should probably eat all this. And halfway through, you want to die.
And they're like, on the big ones, you can get free refills. So you're like, ah,
and on the way
me.
Out, you're like, well, for the car ride home.
I paid for it already. I might as well get the refill.
Sits in your kitchen. Have you ever taken it home and like put like wrap over the top of it to save it?
No, I never have.
I may have at some point.
I
in my
never
life.
Have done that.
No, me neither, bro.
Nope.
Don't worry, Scro.
Scro.
You're all fucked up.
What I do with the popcorn is I. So this is actually real. Mm-hmm. But I was in a comedy contest several months ago, and I placed in it, but I didn't get for like first place, got to move on. And he had a bunch of his friends there. Fuck that guy. He was really funny. I'm just being bitter.
Yeah, but it's totally rigged then.
Yeah.
It's rigged. I had the biggest audience.
It's rigged.
Jesse, you had the biggest audience. I saw it. It was tremendous. The biggest audience in the stand-up history.
Well, but what happened...
Period.
What happened was the place... I came in third place, and the prize for third place was like an industrial-sized salad bowl full of fries.
Why?
It was... for no reason, for the novelty of it. But like
did they force you to eat it on stage?
No, they advertise it as like third place gets a big thing of fries. And
That's
I
the
like
worst price.
But when they brought it out, I like almost had a panic attack because I was like, that is such a waste. Like I have to go around to like the community and see if anyone wants fries. I have to like, what can I borrow this bowl? And they were just like,
enjoy your extra big ass fries.
But I did. I couldn't enjoy it because I was like, I just want a small amount of fries.
So much anxiety. It's all right. We can move on past that.
All right.
It's all right. Don't worry. Like, it's going
to
be okay.
We'll physically move on, but we won't be able to emotionally move on.
So he gets arrested. He goes to court, and Dax Shepard, Fredo, is his lawyer.
Yeah.
And halfway through Fredo's opening remarks, he starts saying, I think he owes me money for the wall he destroyed, and he does it. And he starts... like being against his own client, high fives the prosecution,
yep.
And then they throw him in jail. He ends up in jail, and they're trying to they have him take the intelligence test, and it says if you have a bucket that's 1 gallon and a bucket that's 5 gallons, how many buckets do you have? And he's like, 2, and everything's super easy.
Yeah.
So he's the smartest.
And he looks to the left of him and to the right of him, and he sees 2 guys trying to fit square pegs into round holes.
They just
figure it out.
And
that's where he gets. So they give him the tattoo, and that's where he gets the name Not Sure.
Where they have that great like who's on first banter between him and the robot machine saying, "What's your name? Are you not sure?"
He's like, I'm not sure what to do here. And they're like, Not Sure. Is that your name? Please confirm. Your first name is Not. And
he's like, no, it's not.
No, it's not.
Okay. Yeah. Your first name confirmed. And he's like, no, it's Not Sure. Okay. It's just, it's really clever back and forth that they do there.
Yeah.
And then he goes to prison. And I love how he gets out of jail. He just goes, hey, I'm not supposed to be in this line. I'm actually supposed to be in the other line. Oh, idiot. Go over there.
Get in that line.
And he leaves. He just runs away.
Well, he tells the guys, like, oh, you're not in my system. And he's like, are you sure? Did you check those files behind you? And as the guy checks the files behind him, he just runs out the door.
Then he goes back and he knocks on the only person he knows, Fredo, because, and by this time, Rita's out and wandering around and they haven't met again yet. But he goes back to Fredo and he's watching foot fetish porn where it's 2 feet and he goes, oh yeah, cut that, right? And it's like, it's literally 2 feet cutting a steak with a steak knife.
Yep.
And can we play whatever Baton clip is? I forget.
Oh, you just go away, Baton.
I'm pretty sure that in my teenage years, once my buddy bought Playboys from the... what happened was there was a street sale in my neighborhood.
I can't wait to hear where this goes.
Forgive me if I told this before, but they were selling Playboys down the street, and I went there and I was like, oh, can I buy some of these? And I had the whole fucking stack. They were $1 each, and they were like, oh, you got to be 15 to buy these. I may have told the story on here.
I haven't heard.
They're like, you have to be 15, and I was only like 13 at the time, and I was like, shit.
Did they ID you?
They can't. I don't have an ID at that point, so I guess they just guesstimate your age. Just carbon date you by like how old or mature or how many pimples you have. Right. So I call my buddy Corey at the and I was like, dude, you got to get over here. You look more 15 than me, even though he was only a year older. He was 14.
You look more 15.
If you go buy these, they also don't know you as like their neighbor, so you can get them. So he was only able to. They only let him purchase three. I don't know why there was a cap on how many Playboys.
Fuck these people.
Yeah,
what's wrong with them?
These fucking rules.
Yeah.
And so we got three of them, and I remember I shoved them in under my belt, and I rode my bike home, and I went through the back gate of my house, and I ran upstairs, and I hid them. And this was the story last week where I changed the hiding place every week.
Yeah.
But I swear, from the moment you're a teenage boy and you figure out what baiting is, it's like anytime anybody knocks on your door, you might as well just be saying,
oh, you just... Go away, Peyton!
Such a casual...
Go away, Peyton. But the truth is, it took me hours to unearth the Playboys from their hiding spot that I didn't have time to bait. I just had time to stare at it and go...
And if anyone knocked on your door, you just pretend like you were asleep. There's no other reaction.
No other reaction.
I went fishing for the first time.
Fuck! And that's going to be my next one.
With some family, and mm-hmm. they were fly fishing, and I fly fished for a while, and I couldn't catch anything. I was
it's
this
tough.
Is hard,
super
man.
Hard.
So what I did was I just took a fishing pole and I took the line, and on the end of the hook I put candy because I was like, I love candy. I'm sure the fish will love candy. And I didn't want anyone to see that I was like cheating because I saw it as cheating. So I like turned my back and I like was doing it in secret. And then my uncle came over and he was like, hey, Jesse. And I was like,
oh, you just go away, baiting.
I was like, I'm baiting, man. I'm doing it normal.
Go away, baiting.
I'm doing it the way I'm supposed to be doing it.
So they escape. Dax Shepard said, Fredo says he's going to drive him to the time machine. They start driving. His ID gets scanned. The battery shuts down. They find Rita. They all escape the car. And then the cops come and just start shooting the car.
They just blow the shit
out
of the car.
And then people start cheering and punching each other. And Fredo just starts watching his own car going, oh, yeah. Oh, fuck. Oh, awesome. And Dax Shepard's enthusiasm for watching his own car blow up is incredible. They finally get to Costco. It's the size of a city. It's the size of an entire
right. Well, that's where the train city. Goes through.
Yeah.
And we also find out that Dax Shepard went to law school at Costco.
But when they enter Costco, can we play the Costco sound clip? Because this is a greeter, and I think this is very friendly and nice.
Welcome to Costco. I love you. Welcome to Costco. I love you.
And so sincere, too.
It's so sincere. How did they come up with that? Like, what... So good.
I don't know.
I wish that Walmart employees were like, welcome to Walmart. I love you. I'd be like, oh, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I wouldn't. I'd be like, well, see you later.
See you. I'm out.
This accelerated more quickly than I'm comfortable with.
And I love
with.
That his shirt has a picture of himself with the phrase, welcome to Costco, I love you, on it.
Yeah.
Like, he needs... In case you can't remember him, it's double.
Well, this is all like taking the next step, like name tags. Like, we don't really need name tags with the Costco employees. So rather than having that, we'll just have the photo of them wearing them. So we just
so you know it's really them.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
So we
and then they also, while we're there, we find out that basically like every chain that we're familiar with has become like
a hand job joint.
Yeah, pay for sex.
Starbucks, H&R Block. Is now and chicken
like El Pollo Loco maybe something like that.
I don't know how they got away with all these brands without like they change it just enough.
Yeah,
but yeah,
but they literally say Starbucks. I would like a Starbucks, and he's like, "Oh, we don't have time for a hand job."
So funny. So then, when Rita goes off, I forget why she leaves, but
to use the bathroom.
You know, to use the bathroom. And then Dax Shepard is talking bro talk, you know, locker room talk.
Right.
This is Dax Shepard's locker room talk. Can we play the I like sex clip?
Hey, you mind if I pound on that, Joe?
What?
I like having sex with chicks.
Yeah. I think everybody does, Fredo.
Not like I do. Like when you get it like this sideways and then you're just like back
here. That's real good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's my favorite part at the end. Because his physicality on it is so weird.
He's basically fucking a beach ball. If you can see his arms, he's like, it's a sphere.
I like having sex with chicks. I like how we had that kind of funny little Alesh thing in our show. Oh, my God. So then We'll skip ahead because we took a little bit of time in the beginning to talk about. I don't know what the hell I talked about. But so anyways, he gets scooped up by the police. Mm-hmm. Dax Shepard and Rita reconvene to try and find him. And he gets sent to the president, where he's made the Secretary of the Interior because he's the smartest man in the country. The cabinet members are incredible. Can we play the... This is the introduction to all the cabinet members of President Camacho, played by Terry Crews, who's an ex-pro wrestler and porn star. Now a machine gun toting, middle finger flying president, which at this point would be a positive.
It'd be an improvement.
So
I feel.
Can we play the cabinet members clip?
Hey, wait a minute. I'm the smartest guy in the world? Says who?
The IQ test you took in prison. You got the highest score in history. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Yeah, dumbass. You've been smarter than President Camacho. That's how come he's making you Secretary of Interior.
Okay, so who are you?
I'm the Secretary of Energy.
You won a contest, got to be a cabinet member. I'm the Secretary of State, brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Why do you keep saying that?
Because they pay me every time I do. It's a really good way to make money. You're so smart, why don't you know that?
Good question.
The Secretary of Defense.
Huh?
And Funbags over there is the Attorney General.
And that's Secretary of Education.
And he's just like...
It's kind of stupid. He's President Camacho's stepbrother. Still does a pretty good job, eh?
He does a pretty good job, eh?
I love when they introduce... It's Horatio Sands, right? And yeah, he's like, yeah. That's just it. Oh, fuck. You know what I'm thinking. That's maybe a step up from our current cabinet. But whatever. Anyways, I love that introduction so much. And then they bring... There's a presidential parade where... well, the president says, hey, I'm going to... I think I got this clip, too. Did I get the president's speech? Did I pull that one?
He has a couple speeches, so this might...
President Camacho's speech.
Shit.
It's on the teleprompter.
Yeah.
I know she's barren with all that starving bullshit and the dust storms. And we running out of french fries and burrito covers.
Burrito covers.
But I got a solution.
That's what you said last time, dipshit.
I got a solution. You're a dick.
South Carolina, what's up?
Pulls out a machine gun.
That's what I thought. Now, I understand everyone shit's emotional right now. But listen up. I got a 3-point plan to fix everything.
It's so good. It's so fun. And it's all Joe is going to... Luke Wilson's character, Joe, is going to fix everything.
Oh, that's the 3-point plan.
And it's so... That fucking shit. I know shit's bad right now with that starving shit.
And the dust. And my favorite part is when he says, and we're running
out of french fries
and burrito covers.
Oh my God. It's so good.
Also, I have some family in South Carolina, so I spent a good amount of time there. That's South very Carolina. South Carolina.
What's up?
That's so
I love
South
that Congress
Carolina.
Has now become a bunch of like heckling douchebags at a frat. Like, you're a dick.
Yeah.
South Carolina, what's up?
They're like ready to mosh.
So
it's like, what?
Awesome. And so then we find out that the crops have been being watered, like we said, with Gatorade, and specifically a company called Brondo, who bought out the FCC and the FDA, which is not that far off from what's going on now with buying out things to let the EPA go the standards go away on environmental protections, to let kids eat whatever in schools.
Right.
It's like... The Brondo is not that far off from a reality of people buying off the agencies that are supposed to protect us. So that's happening. Joe and Rita in the same room. They start to build sort of a romance with them, but for being a prostitute, she's very chaste with Joe.
So this is like what makes you think that she's not really a prostitute.
Yeah.
It's like she isn't super forward, and she isn't like...
No.
She isn't real comfortable with like aspect of...
But she's still funny as hell. I just think they didn't need to make
her
a prostitute.
There were just like a few small things in there where I was like, like that, and then like... A lot of the voiceover, we didn't need a ton of the voice. Like, the voiceover just sort of dumbed the movie down a little bit.
I liked it in part. I liked... It just came back a little... I wanted this movie to be longer. When it ended, I was like, oh, fuck, I would have had loved to have a little bit more.
I think we do have the clip. We're starting to run out of time a little bit. I think we do have the clip of, like, what happened in the court case that got Joe to rehabilitation.
Yeah.
But like that, and like it's sort of a funny joke of like Fox News being like, all right, reporter, tell us what happened. And then they tell, and but, they, yeah, but like, they so that's like a
they speed along the exposition.
They
really
speed,
fast.
Like, I would have loved to see that scene. Yeah. And I know we already saw a court scene, but like just them telling us about the scene didn't do it justice.
Well, let's play it so they can hear it. Let's play the Fox News.
The male anchor is shirtless and just like
totally.
He tried taking water from toilets, but it's secretary not sure who finds himself in the toilet now. And as history pulls down its pants and prepares to lower its ass on not sure's head, it will be Daddy Justice who will be crapping on him this time.
We now go live to Violence Channel correspondent for Micah Davis.
Violence Channel.
At the Extreme Court with highlights on today's trial.
And then she looks the wrong way.
Thank you, Velveeta. Well, it started off boring and slow, with Not Sure trying to bullshit everyone with a bunch of smart talk. Blah, 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 you gotta believe me. That part of the trial sucked. But then the Chief J just went off. He said, man, whatever, the guy's guilty as shit. We all know that. And he sentences us to one night of rehabilitation.
It's so good.
Yeah, but so everything that she says would have been better if we had just seen
it. Yeah,
it
would have been really funny. I still think it's a funny monologue. Man, it started off with that smart talk. It's like anytime you get in an argument with a troll on Twitter about anything dealing with Trump or politics, and then you spout out facts, and they're like, oh, fuck you, snowflake. You don't know anything. And you're like, wait, okay, I get the political divide, but if I just gave you facts,
right,
like actual evidence, and you went... Nope. Like, what?
Yeah.
How do you argue with somebody who...
I just read something, that, and I'm sure someone important said this, and I don't... Frederick Douglass. I could credit them. It was
Frederick
either
Douglas
Frederick Douglass
or Maya Angelou.
Maya Angelou. Or I wish I remembered the name of the woman we were referencing last week, the actress.
I forget
that would have been a perfect callback.
Oh, damn it.
But they said, everyone's entitled to their own opinion, but not their own facts. And that is 100% true. You can't just say, no, your facts are wrong.
Yeah,
they're facts, and that's the definition of facts.
I'm cool if whatever party you are, but just listen to facts and evidence.
Sure.
You know. But anyway, so I love that we got a tweet from somebody saying, winky smiley face, what was it? Something panda. Oh, shit. I'm going
to
find it.
Panda,
who said, try not to get too political today. And I thought that was so fun. Oh, Sancho Panda VTW. Said, perfect. I knew it was only a matter of time. Just don't let this discussion get too political this time. Winky smiley face. Listen, hashtag GMP inside joke.
Listen, the only reason that it's not becoming political, we just didn't talk about politics before we had a treasonous White House. But now that there is, like, it's just part of the world.
Yeah, just part of the
and
world.
So we're just talking about
the
world that we are in the context of right now.
Speaking of, can we play, let's end on a hopeful note by playing the final. So basically we talked about like the dildo monster jam and ridiculous.
Did. We sure did.
It's absurd. And to me, it's one of the lower points in the movie because it's just silly.
Yeah.
And we don't need to go on. And then the flamethrower guy comes out,
like
beef supreme. And anyways, long story short, they realize that plants are real and he saves the day. He becomes president. And can we play the final presidential speech, which is actually kind of hopeful and what I wish someone would say right now about to Betsy DeVos, maybe.
Sure.
Can we play it?
You know, there was a time in this country when smart people were considered cool. Well, maybe not cool, but smart people did things like build ships and pyramids, and they even went to the moon.
He's doing this. He's doing the president thing.
And there was a time in this country, a long time ago, when reading wasn't just for fads, and neither was writing. People wrote books and movies that had stories, so you cared whose ass it was and why it was farting, and I believe that time can come again.
So good. Oh, God, I love this movie so much. We've been talking Idiocracy today, and holy shit, if you haven't watched this movie ever, you give yourself a treat and watch it. And if you haven't seen it in years, watch it now. It's even funnier and even scarier. It's a little daunting where we could go. But until next time, ladies and gentlemen, where can they find you, Jesse?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter, at Too Much Jesse. Follow me for sketch, at The Prom Losers. Let me know what you thought of Pixels.
There you go. All right. I'm just going to keep doing the pixel joke. I'm at the Ben Begley on Twitter and Instagram. At Funhouse Mass is the Funhouse Massacre Twitter handle. At Guilty Movie Guys is us here. Also, the Star Wars Destroyer short that I was in got like 25,000 hits. So if you haven't checked it out, 25,000 other people have. So go look, go watch it. Star Wars Destroyer on YouTube. It's on my Twitter as well.
Maybe that's why you feel alone in this world, because you haven't watched it in 25,000 other people.
That's what
have.
It is. Yeah. So fix that loneliness. Oh, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, what is your guilty movie pleasure?
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.